Hey fam, it's Kenesha here, and I am so excited to be back with a new episode of Fam Talk. Today's episode is called I Am the Project, and in it, I talk to my lovely aunt Shelly about her journey towards understanding that her first duty is to herself. Now, I know that you will enjoy hearing the wisdom that she has to share, so let's get into it. So one of the goals of this podcast is to hear from the experiences of others so that we can all learn and grow together. So in light of that, I've brought on today Shelly Haynes, who is the creator of Why Shelly Speaks and also who happens to be my aunt. So welcome to the podcast, Auntie Shelly.
Thank you, Kenesha.
So what have you been learning recently about yourself?
I've learned lots of things, but one of the things that I would say that I've mostly been focused on is learning to love others by loving myself in tangible and lasting ways, and learning how to weight release both spiritually and physically. That would be like a major recent development, I would say.
And what do you think led to that, if anything, or is it just a natural evolution of time?
Yeah, I think there's a series of events that took place a few years ago. I don't know if it was the year before last. There was an eclipse, and I was at work, and I went out to see the eclipse. You know, I had my shades on and all that. And as I was looking at it, it was just a very spiritual moment for me. And God reminded me that even on my darkest days, the light is still there. And he reminded me of the womb experience and how life is developed in that dark place and how new life is birthed. That was one of the series of events that took place. I also released myself from a toxic, pretty much rotting relationship of 5 years that I had gotten myself into because of a project I took on. Instead of focusing on myself, on making myself healthy, I found someone that was more unhealthy and poured everything into improving that. You know, I felt pity, and quite honestly, it was just easier to focus on what I could improve in them rather than fixing my own issues and my own toxic behaviors. Mm-hmm. And then more recently than that, it was last year or year before last, my daughter, my only child, had a heart-to-heart conversation with me about how my decisions about my health and actually exercising the discipline to change certain things in my life could potentially impact her as an only child. If I experienced some, you know, an early demise, if I was no longer there, what that would mean to her. And I knew that changes were within my grasp. I knew that I knew enough to do it, but I just wasn't doing it. And so, yeah, a series of events, you know, brought me to that whole, you know, really loving myself so that I could better serve others and love others more.
What would you say were the first steps that you took along that journey once coming to the realization that something needed to change?
We're in this world, right? And I'm smiling as I say it. We're in this world where body image and positive acceptance of that, however that is really promoted, you know? So in a world of body positivity and self-acceptance, I had to admit to myself that, yes, I feel lovely and I think that I'm beautiful, but I knew that I wasn't living my best life. So I had to go through like a lot of reflection and admitting like, yeah, you're nice, but you know, there's something that could improve. You're not living up to your true purpose and you're not fulfilling your destiny by playing small or by not addressing issues that you could fix. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah. So for me, I had to do like a lot of deep reflection and admit to myself that while I was okay-ish, I wanted more. I wasn't satisfied with how I was showing up. So that was one of the things, just making that personal admission to myself, being honest to myself. And I started to ask myself why I was doing the things that I was doing, you know, why I was falling into the relationships or choosing the relationships that I was choosing. So that led me into like being mindful, because if you're asking why, then you're really thinking a lot about, you know, why did I do this the second time around in regards to relationships? Why did I make this choice again? And, you know, I started realizing that the commonality in the poor decisions that I had made was not who or what I had chosen to do, but me. I was the thing that was making these choices. I was the consistent, the common denominator in all the choices, whether good or bad, that I had made. So that whole self-evaluation and desiring to develop into my best self and stick with it, you know, not just having the idea like, oh, I should have, I would have, I could have, or I could do that, and but actually showing up for myself every day, making that decision every night before I go to sleep, making that decision to show up, you know, and to do better than the day before in some small way, some small consistent way. Yeah, that was like my building the momentum of creating a habit of positive transformation.
And I think a lot of times we recognize that changes need to happen, but that consistency piece is where we fall short. What do you think it takes to break through from like, okay, this is what I need to do, to like, this is what I'm going to do, determination to keep it going?
Admitting that where you are is not enough. And it's okay to say, yes, I know that, you know, God has created me this and beautiful and all these positive affirmations and things we're saying to empower ourselves, but then really looking at the things that you don't like, that you need to change, and admitting that they exist. Mm-hmm. And that is the beginning of it, making that admission, and then learning to keep the promises that I made to myself. That was one of the biggest things. I was listening to an online mentor, and one of the questions that they posed, and I've been asking my own clients that, is, do you trust yourself? You know, do you trust yourself? And, you know, when I think about it, I would say I'm trustworthy. You know, you can trust me with your child. You can trust me, you know, to keep my word. You can trust me with your man, your friendships, your secrets, things like that. But I kept making promises to myself that I was not keeping to myself. And it could be like, you know, I'm going to go to bed at a certain time, or tomorrow I'm going to do this, I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to be more mindful about what I put in my body and abstain from certain things. And you know, you'd make those promises to yourself, and then if they fall at the side, it's okay. But what it was doing, what I found out with my self-reflection, it was making me unbelievable to myself. I didn't trust my word or the things that I said that I would do. So what I did was started making small promises to myself. Okay, I may not do 3 miles tomorrow, but if I walk 10 minutes out, you know, set my timer for 10 minutes out and go out and walk, then I'll have to walk 10 minutes back. Mm-hmm. And that would be 20 minutes. And I could make that small promise that I will walk 10 minutes out, you know, every day, you know. So I started doing the things that were believable to me, the things that I could trust myself on. And I didn't really, it dawned on me that that trust was a muscle that I was exercising. So now I could walk 5 miles, and I've been doing it for years, but you know, it was doing it and then stopping, burning out. But within the last year, I've been just over a year, year and a half now, I have formed the habit of every day, you know, do something to improve my health. Every day show up for myself, and I've learned to trust myself. So I know that if I don't want to do it, don't tell myself that, you know, don't make myself promise me that I'm going to do something, because I'm going to show up and do it.
Right.
So does that answer?
Yes, it does. It does. That's a great first step, being accountable to yourself, because we're so able to be accountable to everyone else. And I think sometimes for me, it's hard for me to, I go like too far in the other direction, and I'll be, you know, it's that whole self-care thing. There's self-care, then there's being lazy. And I will kind of straddle that fence sometimes and kind of, you know, I need this time for myself when I could be working on other things or should be working on other things. Right. And so in that too, I have to trust myself to show up for myself.
Keep a word for yourself, right?
Right. I remember in a previous conversation that we had, you were talking about something you started doing at work. I don't remember the details of it, but I think it was something at the beginning of your showing up for yourself. Do you remember what that was?
One of the most, the biggest, most visible change is that in the last year I've dropped about 70 pounds, right? So that's like something that I needed to manifest for my health and wellness. But I work in an office setting with a group of wonderful, wonderful individuals, women. And a lot of our bonding time took place around the table, the lunch table, that sort of thing. And one of the things that I started exercising the ability to say no thank you, no thank you, with love and with grace and with compassion to myself, and without guilt to others, you know? And every day I would get that loving invitation. You sure you don't want to come and eat? Or, you know, we bought donuts, or we bought, you know, this cake, or somebody made pie, or, you know, and all of these things. And before I would, you know, I would try this, I would take this, I would be the one bringing in donuts at times. And, you know, and then because I had exercised mindfulness and asking myself, why was I doing the things that I was doing and how were these things helping me to get to my greater goal? I had to start saying no thank you. So I actually fasted from feasting with my coworkers. But I understood that, you know, it was a bonding thing and it was something that was very important to try to just build the camaraderie and all of that. So I initiated things, and for years I'd done it, but more consistently initiated things like dancing. We would do, you know, I'd say, you know what, part of my lunch break, I'll be doing the Cupid Shuffle at 1:15. So the music will be at my, you know, space, and come, and they would come out and they would, you know, dance with me for 15 minutes. And at other days, I would say, you know, I would send out a memo in our instant messaging, and it would say a gentle invitation for walking. Let's do a mindful walk. And they would come. So in an office setting with about 11 or 12 of us, about 5 of us would go for a walk, you know, and it varied. Quite often, most of them would dance. So I started doing things like that and just repurposing my breaks from work. Yeah, that was one of the things that I did that was really instrumental in me hitting my goals and showing up for myself and encouraging others, inspiring others to do the same.
Yeah, I think that's really a great idea that you did that, because I'd imagine it could feel very isolating at work.
Yeah.
Not being able to be a part of community in the way that everyone else was being communal. So that's a really great step you took, I think, to kind of incorporate everyone else in your transformation without being preachy or, you know. Or,
no pressure.
You're right. It's just.
But if you want to hang with me.
This is what I'm doing, you know, if you want to join.
Yeah. And I had to also be honest with them that my relationship with food was not the healthiest. And I had to say that I work with nurses. Mm-hmm. So we're all registered nurses for decades upon decades of service. I think collectively we have over 300 years of service amongst us, right? And I have like 30 years of service in nursing. And all day long we're caring for other people and serving other people and redirecting people's choices and beliefs about themselves, you know, to overcome chronic illnesses and serving. So I thought it was important to give myself some of the love and some of the encouragement and compassion that I was doling out to others and really applying it to myself in ways that were tangible and that were not just superfluous and a lot of words. I needed action. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I could give a lot of words, but if you looked at me then, you would see like something's not too right, because you're talking the talk, but your package is not manifesting, you know, what you're encouraging others to do. And that was not sitting well with me. I also saw the big picture, that I was created to inspire hope. I became convicted within the last few years. I was always involved in some kind of ministry, whether children's ministry or youth or things like that. Those were my passions. I love speaking life to young children and to new parents and to just anyone that needed that kind of encouragement. And I saw that the big picture was that I was created to like inspire hope and positive transformation. And I wanted to, you know, live a life of love, joy, and have just this positive impact. I didn't want to leave this world empty, not empty, but full of all that God had packed in me to make the change that I was created to make. And I coined this phrase, tags, you know, this whole Instagram, they say, tag me. And when I think of the word tags, I think of, am I using my talents, my attributes, my gifts, my skills to their fullest? And that kept echoing in me, Kanisha. Am I using my talents, my attributes, my gifts, and my skills to, you know, inspire others to positively to transform them in areas of their lives that they desired? And I felt like I was blessed. I started recognizing that I was blessed with the gift of helping others get unstuck and keep them motivated. And the more I became convicted by my calling, the more it became evident that I should apply what I was offering to others to myself, right? Because I was stuck. And I kept hearing this echo in my spirit, heal thyself. It was over a year ago, that I got a pause from work because I developed a deep vein thrombosis in my leg, and that paused everything. Physically, I could not walk without like support, without limping, right? And I felt like that was like aging me prematurely. And so that echo that I was hearing became like a full out voice, you know, heal yourself. And in my quiet times, I would ask God to teach me what to do to reach those that needed me, and how can I serve in a big way, and how can I return to him when this life was over and hear, well done, right? And I kid you not, I clearly heard my creator say, Kanisha, you are my first and earliest assignment that I gave you. Mm. You are the assignment that I gave you. So while it was noble to think of how could I serve others and all that, God was saying, the first assignment that I gave you was for you to be well. And you're not doing it, right? So the next thing I heard was, Shelly, you are the project. Talking about taking on projects and all this, you are the project. You are the vessel and the spirit that needs attention and healing and restoration and care from lack of maintenance. You are the one. And so I just had to pay attention to that. And I came to the realization that though noble, all that helping and serving others was just a welcome distraction. It was a welcome distraction because it was less work to serve others in a way and then leave them than having to fix me and heal me, right? Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
So it was just easier. You know, you could do this and show up in like, you know, sunshine and bright and light your world and then go home and go to bed, probably not exercise, not soak in a tub, not or overeat, you know, and then wake up the next day and serve the world again while you're deteriorating. And that's what that voice was like telling me, you know, Holy Spirit was just convicting me about that.
Because when you're working on yourself, you don't really ever get to turn that off. I mean, if you do, that's detrimental for yourself. Once you turn it off, then,
yeah.
You know, so you have to kind of always be present and stay on. So it's much easier.
Absolutely.
To, you know, go somewhere else and help someone else. And then you go home and you forget about.
Right. And you see you clearly and close up.
Mm-hmm.
The only other person that sees you, I think, more clearly and close up than you see you is probably your child or your pet, if you have a pet. You know what I mean? They see you with your hair down, with your face unwashed, with your quiet times when your face is making expressions that you're not even aware of because of, you know, experiences that you're going through or whatever. So you being aware and cognizant of showing up for yourself, it doesn't turn off. You don't get to turn that off. Except, you know, even when you're sleeping, you have to be really mindful about what you say to yourself before you go to bed, so you give yourself time to rest, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have to speak something with all the work that you're doing on yourself, even because the last voice you hear is your own. The last belief that you hear about yourself is your own echo, what you feel about yourself.
So we talked about the effects of the mental change that you've undergone, but what have been the physical effects, like energy-wise or strength-wise, or that you've noticed since you've made this change?
Yeah, well, with my transformation, it all took place, it all came to a head or manifested really strong just before my 50th birthday. I knew for years I would always say, when I turn 50, or by the time I turn 50, I want to be at this goal weight. I want to heal in this way. I want to be able to show up in this way. And the next 50 years have to be better than the previous 50 years. And I've always said that, at least from in my 40s. I was like, you know, count down to 50.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly happened. Who knows? It may have happened sooner if I had said, you know, when I turn 45, you know.
Right.
But for some reason, 50 was this like pivotal place in my mind and in my, you know, like I'd be ready for this transformation. Because for as long as you know me, I mean, I could jump double dutch. I love running. I love roller skating. I love being active,
mm-hmm.
but I was that big girl being active, right? And I think last year when I actually had a health issue that I had not experienced before, that made me realize that, all right, this vessel is really just a vessel and it's not going to care for itself. I've been gifted with this body to take care of. And so what I experienced since I've made my change is I'm stronger. I feel like someone told me that that I hit the Benjamin Button, whatever thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, that I've been hearing lots that, you know, you're aging in reverse,
mm-hmm.
or like you're looking younger, you know. And of course, there's people that love and care about me. So it could be just that encouragement too. But I feel it. I feel stronger. I feel like my youth is being restored, you know, and I feel most of all like I'm equipped to help others, you know, transform since I've experienced the transformation in myself. Way more confident. I mean, I was always the encourager and all that, but now I could say, I don't know everything, but this is what I did. Mm-hmm. And this is what happened for me. And that energizes me. That knowing that there's not just hope, but it's hope in action and hope that has manifested to sight, that's energizing. So I feel it in my body. Even labs, you know, my blood values and things have improved. Mm-hmm. You know, and I won't go into detail about that, but yeah. And I've actually, you know, paused my aging process in ways that I knew in my mind was possible, but that I get to experience for myself.
Right. So do you have any words of encouragement for the people who have been listening to this today?
I believe that there are no accidental meetings. So I know that if you have tuned into this program today, that it was divinely appointed. So first, let me let you know that I love you. I love you. I may never have laid eyes on you, but I send love and light to you. And I want to encourage you, if you're listening, and perhaps you are like me, just allow yourself the permission to heal from the wear and tear of service to others. Speak life over yourself and manifest your best self. The thing that I really learned is that is intrinsic to what I truly believe. I believe that we were created, and I believe that though God created us, we are also co-creators with Him. And that it's in our DNA to continue the creation process by improving ourselves and to heal from our past. And we can choose to learn and grow from various situations and become better versions of ourselves. One of the things that God also told me is like, you know, I made you the boss over you, you know? So when I realized that I was the CEO over Shelly, over me, and I love acronyms, and I would say me would be manifesting excellence, manifesting my excellence. When I really accepted that role, then I became more aware. And I became more courageous to re-engineer me, to reinvent me, because I was the boss over me. And so that meant, if you know you're the CEO of a company, that meant that, like, I had to dissolve some mergers, right? And release some acquisitions, mm-hmm. right? And when I made those decisions, life for me steadily improved. And I stopped acting like the employee, like, you know, you go and you just swipe a time clock and you sit down. And if there was a problem happening or something going wrong, you look around or look for the boss to see who could fix it. Mm-hmm. And even in relationships, I felt like I was acting like an employee. You know, who would God send to compliment me and fix me? Because I have so much potential. Who would recognize my potential? And I realized that the buck stopped with me. I am the boss of me. I am the CEO of me. And so I get to fix me. And then I never have to second guess, you know, what my intentions were. I don't have to second guess, you know, does the boss of me have an invested interest in me? Because I know hands down that yes, I am invested in my own improvement. I'm invested in being better than I was. And it all boils down to learning to taking the time to learn to love myself so that I can use that self-love as a template by which I serve and love others. So I would say, friends, just hands down, take the time to heal. take the time to work on yourself. And the byproduct of that is that other people will be blessed. They can't help but be blessed when you manifest your greatness.
So I usually ask for a challenge at the end, but I feel like you've given quite a few challenges in what we've said today, just showing up for yourself and being the CEO of you, right?
Yeah. They say that, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world. And that's real.
Man in the mirror.
Man in the mirror. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me today, Auntie Shelley.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
And they can find you on Instagram and Facebook.
Yes, Why Shelley Speaks.
Why Shelley Speaks on both Instagram and Facebook.
Yes.
And what will they find when they go on Why Shelley Speaks?
Well, on Instagram, they'll find just words of encouragement. You'll see a few pictures of me as I go on my journey. And also, there should be a link there if you're interested in a one-on-one consultation with me. There'll be a link that's provided there that you can do and reach out. And we could just light our world together.
And what are the consultations for specifically?
Transformation. Positive transformation in yourself. I ignite those. I spark those. I support those. And I've seen people heal themselves with encouragement.
Well, that wraps it up. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap. So, what did you think? Isn't she delightful? I think so too. Well, in addition to the personal one-on-one coaching that she offers, Shelley also hosts Wise Woman Wellness Retreats and meetups in various cities. Check out her Instagram at Wise Shelley Speaks to stay up to date on what she has planned for the new year. You can stay up to date on what I'm doing by following the podcast on Instagram at FamTalkPod and continue to show your support by listening, rating, reviewing, and sharing the podcast. You can also visit anchor.fm/FamTalk for additional ways to support. You have been listening to FamTalk. As always, I'm your host, Kenesha Rice, and I'll be back next week with another episode. But until then, I'm sending peace and love your way. Later, fam.
I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
That's it.